It depends on what you go to books for, right? I'm thinking of myself being an English major and having studied, approaching books as almost like a scholarly material. Mm-hmm. Even when I read quote-unquote popular books, it's almost like an occupational hazard, right? I can't approach a book as just surface level. I don't have to get anything out of this. I can do that with television or movies. And I wonder if like maybe a film critic could never watch Korean dramas, and they don't, because they don't go to television and movies for that. So it has to maybe do with like different genre and different types of art and what each of us go to that specific thing for.
All right. I think we should begin. And I guess I should say welcome to our casual book club. I am Kofi Adisa. I'm along with my two esteemed colleagues.
Hello, this is Laura.
And this is Sylvia.
I just want to add that we are recording in person for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
In like 2.5, whatever number of years. It's been a while. So this is really cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
It is to see you not in a box, but in actuality.
That's true.
All right. So this week's podcast is about novels that you might find in a grocery store. I might call them trashy novels, but some others might call them grocery store novels, and they all seem to have a similar characteristic. They're easy to read. Their plots tend to be very simple, and there's always some level of mayhem that ensues. I had the lovely opportunity to read Naima Simone's The Single Dad Project.
Ooh.
It's a Rose Bin novel, and she has a series of them. This book actually ends with her latest novel called The Husband Situation. And if it's anything like The Single Dad Project, I'm certain it is salacious and scintillating and filled with nothing but areas of debauchery, let's just say. This story is set in a time, well, I don't even know exactly what time period. I guess it's 21st century. And it follows the happenings of Florence Dennison and Adam Reed, who she, when she met him, called him, let me make certain I get the wording correct, because it's what I would call salacious.
On page two? Whoa.
I mean, they kind of get into it very quickly. And I think she called him something like big body and beautiful or something. Something very objectifying. Oh, big, bearded, and sinful.
Whoa.
That's the trio of words. So, yeah, it's pretty much girl meets guy, guy meets girl. They have a tryst. They think it's going to be a one-night thing, and then they end up meeting up again, and conflict ensues. And they both kind of come to some deep understanding of one another through their family interactions, let's just say.
And did you enjoy the read?
I would say I enjoy the writing.
Say more
All
about
right.
that.
She's actually a really good writer.
Ooh.
And maybe because I could get through the book in a day, maybe that's why it's really good. If I had to labor over the family drama, because there's family drama, of course, this would not be on Lifetime, but it might be on like BET Lifetime.
Hallmark?
Right. It'd be on their version. There's a lot of expletives.
Oh, okay.
It's... Now, her background, she was raised by a pastor, but you know what they say about PKs.
Yeah. Wait, the author or the
author.
Character?
Oh, okay. No, the author.
Oh, interesting.
She also has a book called Church Girl coming out.
Oh.
Yes, I can't wait.
That's great.
So I could talk a little bit more, but I want to hear about The Reckoning. Or Reckoning.
Not The Reckoning. It's just Reckoning. So I went to the same grocery store that Kofi went to, and I try to find me a nice short romance, I couldn't do it. So I picked this book called Reckoning by Catherine Coulter. I didn't realize it is 500 pages long.
Oh, my Lord.
And actually, only towards the end of finishing the book, I did a little Google search. And you guys, she has 89 novels. Okay. 89 novels and so many different genres. Like she has historical thrillers,
wow.
historical romances, and Reckoning is part of her FBI thriller series, which there are dozens of. So one mistake I made was I didn't read the back of the book very carefully, but it is bringing back two agents that are FBI agents who she's written about before, obviously. So I guess when things are serialized, they're, you know, your readers sort of come back to it to find out some more, because I could not figure out for the life of me why there were two different crimes or events going on. Mm-hmm. And I was sure that they were going to meet at the end somehow, like they were going to be linked, right? That they shared the same criminal or motive or something.
Right.
There are some similarities between the two plot lines, but basically it's the two different agents that we're following, and they happen to be married to FBI agents that are married.
To two different FBI?
No. Oh. Two of them. They're married to each other.
Oh.
And we're following each of their sort of like different situation. Huh. And then the thing where I was waiting for the two events to meet never happened after 500 pages. So I was kind of confused. Like, I'm just like waiting for that. And so I thought that was really interesting. They don't have to meet. There's like two novels in one. Only thing that they share is that the two agents involved are married, and they're like recurring characters in this novel. The first kidnapping happens on page one, like sentence one, but then that thing happens for like 200 pages, and it was a little bit painful. But I did also have to, because I was trying to get through the book while folding laundry and stuff, so I got the audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
As I listened to part of it on the audiobook, and they actually have two readers, a woman and a man, but they don't necessarily divide up the reading based on male-female characters. So they were just like switching back and forth.
Yeah,
so it was that was a little bit confusing. But then because they're kind of dramatizing the reading too, so it was not a straightforward like somebody reading the book. So it was like a really interesting experience for me. But the writing is, I don't want the fans of Catherine Coulter to come after me. But I was telling my husband, it's very stilted. Like the dialogue is like, who talks like this? Mm-hmm. And like so cliche, the bad guys keep saying bitch, like all the time. They're calling everybody bitch. But she doesn't write any profanity beyond that. That was interesting, right? Okay. I don't think there was any like F-bombs or...
She should be introduced to Naima.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm glad I read it. My husband asked me, is it like, you know, the John Grishams and the Tom Clancys?
Yeah.
And I actually read a lot of John Grisham, like back in the 90s, I think, or early 2000s. And I do think John Grisham's writing is better. And he did sort of go into quote-unquote literary fiction, too, later on. But anyway, I don't think this is quite John Grisham.
But no, darn.
It was not fun for me.
Well, you guys at least got through your novels. I could not. And I tried to choose ones that were like fairly popular. And in full disclosure, I did not want to spend money on like, you know, this challenge that really was kind of like, the odds of me, you know, liking anything I'm going to pick out are pretty low. Let's just be honest. So I picked off of the Kindle. It was for free to me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so there were a lot on there. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I tried to start the Bridgerton because that's popular. That's very popular. I could not get through it.
Did you watch Bridgerton?
It was just cringy. I did. And even that, the monologue, who is like that Julie Andrews does like the voiceover like of Lady Whistledown, even that is like a little cringy to me. But, you know, it's like a campy... you know, shows, I can get through that. Also, like, it has a fast-forward function versus books. And then I was like, okay, I'll pick one that seems to be very, very popular as well. So then I picked 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm.
That's free on Kindle?
Well, it's because I have a lot of credits racked up. So, okay. I had like a moral dilemma here because we've read books, right? Like we read the Shigeru series. Yeah. And that's not exactly the genre of book that I would be. You know, I love thrillers, but, we talked about how very problematic that book is, and its portrayal of women and toxic masculinity and all of that. But what was really delightful about reading that book was that he at least is good with words. His writing is alive, and that's right. Something he often talked about is that if the writing is dead,
right,
then you're pretty much, it doesn't matter how good of a story you have. Now, here is a case where the story was neither good nor was the writing. Mm-hmm. And that's really what got me. I felt insulted, a little bit. And if any of you listeners are fans, I do apologize. I'm not making any moral judgment about your taste in books. No, none of us are. It's just, time is precious these days. And it if is. I'm going to be reading something, I want it to, be good at words. I understand the irony of that statement. But I'll give you an example from a reader's review on Goodreads that I thought just completely summed up the experience. So this reader says that she went back and counted and kept track throughout the book. And do you have any idea how many times Anna, the main character, said, "Oh my," in this monumentally bad missive? Do you? I'll tell you. 79 times he pulled me back against his chest. "Oh my." He began kissing me. "Oh my." And it's that kind of sums it up. And then the other thing, speaking of using, expletives, it sounds like your book, Kofi, the author used a lot of choice words.
Right? Yes.
At least that's a variety of diction.
It is. And it was appropriate at the time.
Yeah. This writer liked to privilege the word crap, which I think it's hard to pull that off in any fiction, right? But she's constantly saying crap, holy crap, double crap.
Oh
crap. So I was just like, come on, we can do better. We can do better than this. And I get it. Maybe the author was trying to reflect the way that a young, naive girl might be speaking, right?
Yeah.
But internally.
Right.
But this person's supposed to be an aspiring journalist.
Huh.
Yeah. And it just didn't fit, this kind of quirky, klutzy, she's pretty, but she doesn't know she's pretty, like journalist who just is not very good with words or lacks some kind of self-awareness. Anyways.
It's funny that you mentioned about the moral dilemma when I told my wife, I sent the two of you a text saying, "Don't judge me." And my wife, Angie, said, "Oh, I'm Judge Judy and Greg Mathis judging you."
All the judges.
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, am I a snob? Am I, like, one of those, highfalutin, pretentious literary snobs? But no, I like popular fiction. I like Stephen King. Yeah. I liked some Grisham, know. I like some of these other ones. It's just the writing.
Yeah, I am a snob. I lean into it. And I try to find something redeeming about the book. Now, would I read another one? I think I might.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But
Church Girl, obviously, coming up. So
I mean, I've already have 4 chapters of the husband situation, so I got to see what happens.
Okay.
I don't have to see what happens. I think for me, what was surprising was the level of emotion. And that's one of the things that people were critical of the book, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, that there was a lot of emotion there. It wasn't just physical emotion, but, deep family trauma and everything. And I guess I liked that aspect of it, but everything was sort of neatly constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you knew when the salacious was coming. Mm-hmm. It didn't creep up on you. It was like, here I am. and let's commence. And so, where your book, the action started after 200, this was pretty raucous. They started out pretty hot and heavy. And then, it's one of these books that if it became a TV movie, you know exactly how it ends.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to ruin it for those who really want to find out about this single dad project. If you've read one of these before, you kind of know what's going to happen.
I do think maybe the upside, maybe the upside of reading the romance genre from the grocery store is probably it is high in emotion, and I can think of it as like almost like soap operas mm-hmm. or something
just
like that,
thinking
right?
That, yeah.
Yes.
But I think with picking this thriller, this particular one, so there was very low emotional engagement, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just action, 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 as in people trying to figure out what's going on with so many different characters involved. And I was trying to think, who is like powering through this mm-hmm. book like really quickly and just devouring it and enjoying it? Obviously, this author has success because people are reading it, right? And then I thought, because if it's a serialized kind of a thing, I don't exactly know how many books she's written with these two characters. My husband and I were saying, is it kind of like watching Criminal Minds, right? Like each mm-hmm. episode is a book, mm-hmm. right? And not that show specifically, but something like that, where, you know, within 30 minutes or an hour, you're trying to figure out something with these characters that you follow mm-hmm. throughout the different seasons. So I tried to do some reading, like reviews about what is so-called trashy novels or mm-hmm. whatever. And when you read reviews, there are people who are like, love it, another great from this author, down to really terrible, terrible mm-hmm. reviews, right? And some of the things that I've said about the book, you know, were mentioned in the review. So I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things. If you follow this author, you're hooked on them, you just keep going back to them for more. If it doesn't get you on the first book you read, it's not good, mm-hmm. right? It's not engaging. But it's got me thinking about, like, the economy or economics yeah. behind this genre right. of, yeah. of literature.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking along those lines, like, why do people go to these particular books? Like, what are they looking for? I'm not right. suggesting that I like to read dense literary fiction all the time. I don't. Every summer, I just need a little bit of a break, and I want to read something lighthearted and, you know, something that doesn't require so much attention. And I was thinking, you know, in a grocery store line or in a popular kind of fiction genre, why is it that folks go to this? What's the fix that they're looking for? You know, are they looking for an escape, a quick escape, which is what my first thought was? Are they looking to feel something in the emotional or hyper-emotional plot lines that you sometimes see and some of the quote-unquote realistic but unrealistic dialogue that you hear? Mm. I was thinking about soap operas for that same reason, and I was actually thinking about the K-drama genre, too, because that is something that, you know, I'll watch a K-drama. I grew up on those as like a way to dissociate, right, with just decompress, don't think. But the tropes are so familiar, and they are sometimes cringy. And then I was thinking, how different is that from this, except for like the BDSM scenes, right? For 50 Shades of Grey, you have a rich, powerful CEO, and then this kind of derpy, you know, like...
That is the you know, plot girl line that's of half of Korean dramas.
Yeah. And then like, by against all odds, she manages to capture his heart and attention through her quirky ways, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it's the same. The tropes are usually the same. And everybody understands hype, so unrealistic, you know, right. And you're not going to it for any sort of fulfillment or for the good writing, apparently, you're going to it for this sort of reason.
Maybe. I mean, it's true. It's not like all books that are labeled literary fiction are good
right.
or ones that we individually would all love, right? It's not about that. But then as you were talking, it made me think, like, maybe it depends on what you go to books for,
right?
I'm thinking of myself being an English major and having studied, approaching books as almost like a scholarly material, mm-hmm. even when I read quote-unquote popular books. It's almost like a occupational hazard, right? I can't approach a book as just surface level. I don't have to get anything out of this. I can do that with television or movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if like maybe a film critic could never watch Korean dramas and they don't because they don't go to television and movies for that. So it has to maybe do with like different genre and different types of art and what each of us go to that specific thing for. But you're right. I see a similarity here with K-dramas. That's my guilty pleasure for sure.
You know, it could also be the titles.
Yeah, I mean, the titles are just...
Some of her other titles. And this woman is prolific as well. She has a bunch of different series. One is called Billionaires of Boston.
Ooh.
One of the books. And these came out within the last 5 years. Vows in Name Only. Secrets of a One-Night Stand.
Well, if you read them like that.
with your eyebrow arched.
Bargain. And then of the Rose Bins, because this is one, Slow Dance at Rose Bend. The Road to Rose Bend. A Kiss to Remember. Ooh. Christmas in Rose Bend. The Love List. And, oh, here's a good one. Trouble for Hire.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I think it is escapism.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, my wife told me the story that when she was in South Carolina as a young girl visiting relatives, her aunt had all these boxes of books like this. And that was the only thing she could do is read these books. And she said, the moral of the story is, this is why I hate romance. Because it's always objectifying women or objectifying men. And it's all, you know, frivolous and phony. But I actually don't think this is frivolous or phony. It is unrealistic. Some of the conversations that are happening, it would never happen like that. You know, you wouldn't have those kinds of conversations at those moments. But I think the way the narrative works, and this is a common narrative trope, it's basically her point of view, then his point of view, then her point of view, then his. It's kind of back and forth. Mm. And so then there's this meeting in the middle, and then it kind of branches out. But yeah, I think that people come to these because, one, they're easy to read. Mm-hmm. Two, you kind of know what you're getting. Mm-hmm. There may be some surprise, but it's not that surprising.
Yeah.
And I do think if you are a reader of literature with the capital L, you know, you might look at this book and go, oh. But if you're just a reader, a part of a casual book club.
That's right. There you go.
You're going to read this and go, I might read another one in another lifetime.
Yeah. There's also something I found about even the titles that you were just listing off, Kofi. There's almost something a little bit voyeuristic.
Exactly.
About some of these books where you can kind of go into somebody's life and like look at the dirty laundry, you know, but you're not actually doing that because who wants to, that's too messy for real life, right? Or so we think. I don't know what kind of lives y'all are living out there, but yeah, so we think. But there's almost something a little bit like, you know, you can kind of take a look, peek behind the curtains, and then just, all right, shut the book and go about your merry way. And there is something to that, especially now. I mean, I think it's just a win if somebody is picking up a book and reading through it, even if it is not the best written book out there. I think that the practice of reading something, words on a page itself, does something for the mind, and that's a win.
Well, I think that this thing I think you said earlier about formula, right? Some readers, I think, find great comfort in formulas because I feel that way about the dramas, like especially the Korean dramas. No matter how twisted it gets in the middle, I know it's going to resolve a certain way.
Yep.
And it almost always does, right? I'm not looking for surprise endings when I watch those because I'm looking to escape and not worry. And I don't like it when, like, the antagonist is too evil, right? Like, because that stresses me out. And I wonder if in these kinds of books, too, especially if they're serialized and you read a particular author over and over, let's say you read all 80 of her books, then you come to know what to expect, and there's a level of comfort in that, right? And in general, I think when I pick up a book, I'm not looking for that. I want to be surprised. Mm-hmm. I want to see something new, different, weird. Like the last book we read, Percival Everett's book, right? Like that was experimental.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I like that in books. So again, I think it really does depend on what people are turning to books or music or art or whatever, what form of art for, and getting that through that particular genre.
Yeah.
So would you guys read the next book in the series, Laura? Would you read?
No, I'm sorry, not this one. But I was thinking maybe I want to read more John Grisham, right? Like I remember reading them when I was like in college. I mean, I don't know. But also, the story about your wife reminds me, I grew up reading Sidney Sheldon.
Oh, my God.
What are they, mysteries? Or what are they, thrillers, kind of?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're kind of like Reckoning.
They are,
And my dad had them in Korean. And he had a few of those books at home. And this is while we're living here in the States, so it's not like he had access to a lot of Korean books. But I would find them on the shelf and read them. So I kind of grew up reading that. And once I got a little bit older and I could check out books from the library, yeah. I started getting the Sidney Sheldon novels in English. Uh-huh. I read those and really enjoyed them. I enjoy that genre. So maybe I do like it. I just haven't read them in a long time, you know?
Yeah, I think if you... We're all of a certain age, but I remember when Terry McMillan came out with her types of books, and I would never make the comparison, okay? Because Terry McMillan was, you know, actually really, she's actually a really good writer. But it's also kind of sensational, you know? I was thinking about Robert Parker and the Spencer for Hire books. I love those books. And there's something about the serial. It's something about the writing in those books that it's just a little bit elevated. As a reader, you have to do a little bit of work. And with some of these books, well, you didn't have to do much work.
But that's the point.
Right, right. And that's and again, that's the point. If you're going to the beach and you want to read The Single Dad Project, it will keep you entertained. And if that's the value you have for books, just entertainment value, like you, Sylvia, I'm just happy you're reading.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah. I guess I really don't want our listeners to walk away thinking, oh my God, those three snobs.
Yeah, right.
But actually,
at least one of us is.
Well, actually, it's okay because I think it's just to say everyone is a snob about something. Right.
Absolutely.
And right? Like there everybody about different things. Like a film critic might be a snob
or
about
music
movies.
Snobs.
Yeah. So if we're coming across a little bit snobbish about books, and especially Kofi, that's not to say don't read these, right? I think that's great. I think whatever gets you going, you should read it.
Right. Yeah. And the three of us, I did say I like the writing.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean it was easy to follow.
I can tolerate a lot of storylines,
right?
But for the writing, if the writing is not good, then I can't, you know. So, but all right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to our podcast, Bookish, our casual book club. We kept it real cash today. And as a reminder, you can catch us on anywhere you tune into your podcasts under Bookish, a casual book club. You can also find us at bookishacasualbookclub.podbean.com directly, and you can find us on Facebook if you want to share with us some of, you know, your favorite grocery store novels or quick reads. Maybe that'll change our minds about this whole thing. Maybe we just weren't looking, we didn't find the right ones, right? So if you have any suggestions, we would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you later.
Thank you. Bye.